Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition, a special edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Dave Bargell with Young's Marine, who is also the sponsor of this show. Thank you, sir, for that.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking a little bit about boats and boating. One of the questions I had to kind of start the show off, Dave, was we're coming up on a big weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Most people get 3 days, and a lot of boating takes place. For people that are just getting their boats out, what do they need to do to make sure they're going to have a decent time?
Well, really not too much, because if you winterize them, they're not much. But you still got to hook up the battery. You got to make sure you've got 12 volts. You know, the battery is okay, and you got to check the lower unit. The unit probably was checked before, right. But still, you check the lower unit, and the last thing you do is always put in the drain plug before you go to the lake.
Everybody that owns a boat has done that at least once. And usually it takes one time to do it, and then you never remember to put the drain plug in again.
That's exactly how it is. And when it's two, I say, you got problems.
Yeah, when you're standing there and you realize you're riding a lot lower in the boat. But if you can just crank up and go, it'll siphon itself out. You don't have to...
Yeah, it would, and everybody's had to go back to that, but that happens. But really what a guy needs to do is just hook up the battery or tighten up the battery connections with a wrench, not with your fingers, with a wrench, and start the motor at home. Hook it up to your garden hose with one of those muffs. Put it on and start it up at home, and then you're ready to go to the lake. So that's the right way to do it.
Mentioned for years in my articles and told people, you know, when we're talking about boats, I said it's far easier to take care of all those things in your driveway than on a boat ramp where you got a whole bunch of other boaters either waiting to get in or get out of the lake.
It could be pretty embarrassing at the boat dock, so that doesn't need to happen.
No.
And so we get a lot of boats ready, but a lot of boats that we winterized last fall, you know, even if they call, we say, well, all you got to do is hook up the battery and check to see if you got 12 volts or hook it to a charger if
right.
It's gone down. Most of the time, the batteries are still up, and it'll start up, and away you go.
What about the one other problem I ran into one time, just oddball thing, is all the grease in my steering cables hardened up. And the boat cranked up, ran great, got it, put it in the water, cranked up the motor, backed it off the trailer, down in the water, couldn't turn anywhere. I was locked up.
Well, steering cables do that, and it happens usually maybe on, you know, 10 or 15, 20-year-old boats. Some of them, it just happens. We replace maybe 5 or 6 steering cables a year from boats that when it once gets binding up like that, you can't correct it. You can't fix it. You just put in new steering cable, and away you go. But it can happen. You get out the lake and can't turn the steering wheel, and it's a little tough, and you can't hardly use. Sometimes you can free them up, but then they're still so stiff, it's no good.
In my case, it was right where the cable attaches to the motor to that control arm, and once I got it broke free and then lubed it back up again, never had any more trouble with it.
So. Yeah, sometimes it just season up in there where it goes through the motor, and you can redo that. But if it's in the cable itself, it needs a new cable. But that's not any big serious deal.
What's the oddest problem anybody ever brought to you on a boat?
Oddest problem? I don't know. That's a tough one. We get a lot of them, but...
the reason I asked that one is I was thinking... Years ago, I was prepping my boat, getting ready to go out, and testing everything. And when I tested the horn, I found out that wasps had made a nest in there, and it got exciting for a second.
Wasps are pretty famous for trying to, and in fact, I've noticed wasps lately, and I think they're wanting to build nice nests already in different places, no matter what, you know, in a bird, I don't care where, as long as the rain can't hit it. Yeah, there's something else.
Yep.
And they get in boats pretty easy.
Now, let's talk fishing for a little bit. You were just up at Merritt, right?
No, we weren't at Merritt. We went to Valentine Refuge. Our lure traders bunch, about 4 boats of us go every year. We've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah.
And so we were up there fishing for bass or northern, just having a good time. We're staying at Lord's cabins there, and they're really nice. And so we had a nice weekend, and it was the wind blew some like usual, but Then we had some windy, no wind days too, a little bit of wind. So we caught some northerns and bass and had a pretty good time.
And if anybody comes down and visits you at the shop, they just need to walk into your office and look behind your desk. All the fish you got up there, and a lot of master angler fish.
They do. They all say, where did you get all them fish? And I said, I caught them all myself. And he said, well, you caught that many big ones? I said, yeah, it only took 50 years to do it.
Yeah, that's that. You can't catch them unless you're on the water.
But they're all from Nebraska. They're all from around here. The Game Commission in the state, we've got good fishing. There's a lot of lakes, a lot of ponds, a lot of places to go, even a lot of close lakes right around here. If all you got to do, you know, 50, 60, 70 miles, or maybe even 100 and some, there's good lakes every direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly one of the reasons I moved out here, Dave, as I was just wanting a change. And I was looking at the map, and I had an offer to come out here to North Platte, and I looked at all the blue around here, and I went, yeah, that's it. That's where I'm going.
Well, I don't think you made a mistake. I don't know where you could go that would be any better. They're coming from the Denver area, buying cabins here, and coming out here to fish or get away from it all. And so we've got a lot of good things going here. And we sell at our boat shop. We're mostly primarily a fishing. We sell boats of all kinds. And, you know, some tubing boats and some pontoons, but primarily our interest is fishing. So we add, you know, fish finders, electrics, and today's electronics in boats and today's new electric motors, primarily the electric motors today they got spot lock. You don't even need an anchor. They go up and down easy. They're pretty bulletproof. We put an electric on nearly every new boat.
Well, oh, yeah.
And that's just how it is.
When I'd stopped in the other day, there was a very interesting boat I saw in there. It was on a trailer that had Colorado plates, and I think Jeff told me that it came up from New Orleans. But it's a, I don't know what to call it. It's a little different boat, but
It's a little fiberglass boat that Ranger made them like that years ago. It's a very narrow boat, like a John boat, only it's fiberglass, it's metal flake. It's made in Louisiana. It's for down in those areas where there's a lot of trees, narrow spots, and no wind.
It looks like a P-Row with a motor on it.
It was just a notch above a kayak.
Yeah. And that if somebody was looking for a smaller lake or interstate lakes, man, that'd be a great
boat. It'd be a good two-person boat. In fact, the guy bought it, grew up here, and he bought it when he was down there, and he thought it was a thing. Well, he brought it up here and said, get it ready for me. But he said, I would sell it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it fits into Nebraska real well, but right guy it is.
I wouldn't want to be on McConaughey with it with the wind
no,
coming
no,
up.
No, it's a protected water. It's like a kayak boat.
How is your used boat inventory?
Our used boat inventory is pretty darn good right now. It's we've got a 20-foot Crown Line inboard outboard, really nice, a one owner. We've got an 18-foot John boat we just got. We've got some older boats of fishing and a couple of a deck boat. So we've got a fairly good selection of used boats that change pretty often. We take on consignment boats if we can get them because we can't get new boats hardly. We've had
supply chain issue like everybody else is facing?
We ordered four new boats. They only let us order four new ones that we already had. Four new ones last November, and we've got one of those, and the other three aren't here yet. And they keep saying, you're going to have them here. Well, I haven't seen them yet. That's from last November.
That's tough for you. Yeah, that's tough. What do you see in the trend of boating? What are people wanting now, and where's the industry going?
Well, it's still pretty much the same. Fishing seems to be interested for probably, I think, a pretty high percentage of the people that buy boats. Not everybody, but I think pontoons now, because they make tritunes with three pontoons, now they can go 40 miles an hour. You can put a big motor on them, so they're a little more versatile that way. So there's people looking for used pontoons and new ones for that matter. So we sell a few pontoons. Well, this year, for instance, because of the scarcity, we called our factory where we get them last, I think, September, October. And they said, we're already sold out for next year. We can't even take an order. This was last fall.
Wow.
So we never got a new pontoon in any this year. We'll be ahead of it next year, but We've had a few used ones, too, so we've always got some boats around.
There's a gorgeous one sitting in the shop there, or when I was there the other day, but I believe you said that one sold already.
It was sold. It was a 2017 24-footer, and it was nice. The first person that saw it said she'd take it.
That's a very nice setup.
Well, it was like brand new.
Yeah, it was. Now let's go back and talk about fishing for a little bit. And you're obviously a very good fisherman. If somebody just wants to get into fishing around here, where would you suggest they go just to learn?
Well, that's probably a good question. There's so many lakes, but I know a lot of guys that first start out fishing, they may go out here to Lake Maloney, go to the inlet, go to the outlet, see what other people, how they're fishing,
right,
and kind of pick up some deals on that. You can go down here to the tail race, that canal, it's got clear full of smallmouth, that you can have fun catching them. And so you can catch some there, and you can go to the interstate lakes. The first or second interstate lake, both directions from North Platte, well, all the interstate lakes have got good fishing.
Yep.
And the Game Commission has seen to this, what do they call the one west of town?
Fire Lake, or, yeah.
Well, they call it that. There's another name. But anyway, that's a good versatile lake. They fill it with trout for fishing, for ice fishing.
Birdwood Lake is the other lake.
Yeah, Birdwood.
Yeah.
But that's a good lake.
That's the one they put trout in. That's right.
And you can, and now you can, nearly all these lakes now, you can put a boat in with a motor. You can go 5 miles an hour. They have boat ramps, so you can put a boat in. You don't have to fish from the bank.
Right.
So there's some exceptional interstate lakes around that aren't, I don't think fish that hard.
No, I don't. And I think it's kind of an underutilized resource, and it's a relative smorgasbord.
You're right.
Pick a freshwater species, and you can just about find it there.
Yeah, you can. They're there. In fact, there was a guy come in yesterday in the boat shop, and he fishes all around from the bank of the inlet, and he's got a boat, but he'd been out and caught some trout lately at Birdwood. And, you know, those were put in there for a winter project because
right.
I'm not sure they can survive through the summer.
Most times they don't. They'll die off by July or something.
Water gets too warm.
Yeah, but it makes a great fishery when they do that. And all those trout are reared right here in Nebraska and then transplanted.
Yeah, and what's happening, I think another trend I've seen happening is it seems like a lot of people now that have campers or want to get a camper, they might pull a boat behind it. So they'll go to Merritt Reservoir or the one down at Burwell, the Calamus, or down south here to Swanson or Red Willow, or there's all kinds of lakes you can go camp at, and have a boat behind you. So there's guys, and they go to South Dakota, you know, for a weekend or even a week, and pull a boat behind their camper.
Oh yeah, I see a lot of them. Where's your favorite Nebraska lake to fish?
My favorite is the Calamus, or not the one at Valentine, but all of a sudden the name
Merritt.
Merritt Reservoir. That's been my favorite for a number of years. At one time years ago, Red Willow was, but then Red Willow kind of went downhill.
Yeah, and, when they had that dam issue and had
that caused a big problem, and then Merritt entered the picture and full of everything, and now Red Willow, I think, is even back.
I love Merritt. The only thing you have to be careful up there is because of the way that lake sits and the high ground around it, man, a storm can sneak up on you if you're not careful. You've got to keep an eye out.
Yeah, but there's some pretty good protection around. So, and they got 3 or 4 boat ramps, so you can kind of get out of it. You don't want to get caught with 8 or 10 boats trying to unload at the same, you know, load at the same time. That's
right.
Where you get in trouble. But that's a neat lake for a lot of different varieties of fish.
Yes, it is. I hear music in the background, which means Tristan is telling us it's time for a commercial break, but we got some more to talk about. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dave Bargell this morning with Young's Marine. Big weekend coming up with Memorial Day and all the boating there. And off air we were talking, and you were saying water temperatures are warming, so there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be using boats for other than just fishing and stuff like
that. Well, kids, you know, even our kids, when they grew up, we had a boat out the lake, and they want to be the first ones on the lake in the spring to water ski, you know, even though it's ice cold. Well, there's probably some still wanting to do that, but tubing season is getting pretty close, and there's a lot of kids and grandkids, you know, they'll even go out in cold water with tubing, because that tubing is really, and wakeboards and kneeboards and all that kind of water skis, but tubing is a primarily deal that everybody likes to do. The kids like to, the grandkids want to go tubing, and you can swing them to the side, and we got big enough lakes they can have a lot of fun.
Yep. In the last 10 years, all of those pull behind things like tubes and everything.
They're using jet skis to pull tubes. We sold a big tube yesterday. We carry a lot of tubes, and we carry knee boards and wake boards and ropes and life jackets and, you know, the flags and everything you need to have a good time out the lake. Even if the guys go fishing, a lot of times they fish in the morning of 2 or 3 hours. In the afternoon, they go tubing.
Yep. Especially like, you know, dad may go fishing, come back to camp, pick the kids up later after the morning fishing is over, and then he'll do the tubing most of the day.
Yeah.
Tubing or skiing. And there's some pretty good rigs. When my boys were still at home, we had a thing they call the torpedo. And it was a four-seat inline thing.
Yeah, like a big hot dog.
Yeah, like a big hot dog. And they loved that thing.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
We would get out there on the water and, you know, get to going, and then I'd cut hard to the right or left. Well, when they were coming back across, you know, trying to catch up on that arc, you can almost triple your speed across the water like
that.
Yeah,
they do. That's the fun they have. So tubing is the same thing. You can swing them, and those boats skip out to the side. And these a lot of, you don't see as many of them, but they make a knee board where you kind of squat on it. And you can go out the first day and go sideways, go backwards with it. It's just you got a strap across, and you're kneeled on it.
Right.
And it's kind of an in-between thing.
I've seen that, but I've never done that
one. You don't see very many of them, but it's easier than it looks the first time out. You don't have to know how to do much. You'll pick it up right away. Or just naturally, you can feel the safety. You're going like 20 miles an hour. You know, you're not going. Hopefully, the driver don't get crazy.
And safety's always a big thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I remember a few years back, they had these things that looked like winged vehicles, or, you know, they would actually go airborne. And they came off the market pretty quick because they were getting up in the air and unbalanced. They'd flip, come down.
There's a lot of different shaped tubes they make today. These companies got them from all over the place, all kinds of things. But there's about three or four that, you know, that they really like. A lot of kids like the one you lay down on, and it's tapered where you can get on them easy, but you're laying down. Then they got those ones like, what do they call, Big Berthas. There's a kind you sit in it, and an adult can get in there with little kids, and that's a very popular one, too. So there's a lot of shapes that they're all fun.
Now, you, being the grandpa, you're probably driving the boat. You're not back there, right?
I'm not back there, but I did for a lot of years, my pet deal, because I was in a boat business, is in the spring, I went to water ski once that year. Now, I quit maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but about every spring when the day was right, I used to think I was a pretty good water skier, where I could just put one foot up with one ski, hop about three times, have them hit it, and you just step on top of the water. You don't even get wet.
Yeah.
So it's when you learn how to do it, it's easy to do, and it's fun. So I could do that for a long time, but I've kind of given it up.
Well, I'll grant you that. You're what, 70 or 86 now?
Yeah.
I'll grant you that you don't want to do that now. that's wonderful. Keep going.
Well, I
want to be at your 100th birthday party.
Well, sometimes your genes are in your favor and different things, whatever.
Right.
But a typical deal the other day was in the boat shop. There's a slalom water ski sitting there by the and it's been there for years. And I've had a number of people look at it and say, what's that? Well, I says, Derek made that when he was in high school. And one gal the other day from Denver says, well, I want to buy that. I don't care what you, how much you want for that, Derek. He says, it ain't for sale.
Very good.
But so it's just an ornament. He made it in high school.
He's pretty good a craftsman.
And yeah, now he's, you know, he's 60, so yeah. It's while back.
He's a pretty good craftsman. I've seen some of his artwork with metal and his branding and stuff and then that.
But you saw what he was making. Fish stuff.
Yeah.
It's still all related to fishing.
Yeah, well, that seems to be a natural fit.
I guess it does.
Let's go back. We got a couple minutes left. But go back to fishing. And we've talked about where you did, what you catch. What are some of your favorite lures? What are most productive for you?
I've got three or four tackle boxes. I don't go that many times fishing a year now, but I've got tackle boxes you can't hardly lift. What happens is all these favorites you had one year, somebody got something new the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now that Sama Hornet and the Flicker Shad, those two lures,
they're hot.
They've been hot for a year, two or three, and that's what most of walleyes are being caught on. But then I got other guys got to use hot and toss that were really good for walleyes years ago,
right.
And it still works. And there's still, I looked at my tackle box the day, I had five thin fins. I remember 50 years ago there was a billboard at Lemoyne for those lures, a dollar a piece for thin fin.
Oh, my. And now we're talking lures that are in the $7 to $10 range.
Yeah.
New lures coming on the market. I had a guy tell me one time that was in the fishing industry, and he says, you just got to know where you're fishing and what the fish kind of like, he said, because new lures generally catch more fishermen than they do fish.
But I do know one thing. A lot of guys still use worms or minnows, and they do pretty well.
It's hard to beat what God put here for them to eat.
They still like night crawlers.
Yep. I do a lot of doll fly fishing, you know, finesse fishing with them, and that's in certain places.
That's my favorite.
That's very productive.
I throw jigs and with plastic and doll flies and that kind of stuff, and it's just easy to fish with, and it's pretty effective.
Yeah, a jig head, a weighted jig head. And since Berkeley came out with its gulp bait and attached one of those little minnows to the back of a jig head, that's pretty hard to beat.
Do you think those fish, you like that taste, that flavor on them stuff? Is that effective?
Oh, yeah. I used to have the guys from Berkeley come out here.
Yeah, you did.
Particularly for trout, but they bring other stuff. And we were testing at Lake Maloney one day. We had the gulp little minnows, and we had barbed heads that we put in, but there was no hook. And we were casting them out, and they'd grab that, and we could get them back to the boat without being hooked. They were hanging on so hard.
I'll tell you, Tim, we were working on a boat this week, a good fisherman from town here, and I looked in the front of his boat in the floor, and there's a bottle in there, and it says garlic on it.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what's that garlic bottle doing in there? You know what he did? Great big smile, and that was the end of the story.
Yep. And you spray that on, garlic leaves an oil trail in the water, fish follow the trail, it works. So, Dave, thanks for coming in. Thanks for telling us about it. Thanks for sharing what you got going at the shop.
Yep, sounds good.
So, that's going to be it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.